time in, I think, 4 or 5 years, I was under conviction. And God had used a lot of people to bring me to that place. One I think about in particular was a high school English teacher, Mrs. Jessie Short. I was a sophomore in high school when she had me stay after class one Friday with another boy, and we were both unsaved, and she was a Christian. And she said, we'd been studying diagramming sentences, and I wasn't doing very well at it. And she said, I want you two boys to diagram a sentence over the weekend. And I asked, where is it? She said, it's the longest sentence in the English language. It's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. She said, there is a period at the end of verse 6, but it should be a semicolon. We did work at it, but we didn't accomplish anything, except we did what she wanted. We had read the Bible. All weekend, we read that over and over and over again, and it wasn't for us. I thank God for that lady. And then I was a junior, and it was almost time for school to be out. And this same English teacher said to me, the men and boys of Grayson County Baptist Association are having a barbecue at Bearcat Stadium in Sherman tonight. And she said, I know you don't go to church, but I think it would be good for you to go because the teacher, or rather the speaker, she didn't call him a preacher, she said the speaker will be a master in the use of adjectives, and that will be helpful to you. So I went to Bearcat Stadium in Sherman, and the speaker happened to be R.G. Lee, preaching Payday Someday. He did use a lot of adjectives, and at the time I didn't think the Lord had done much to speak to me. But at the same time, God works a little bit at a time on all of us to bring Him to Him. You've got a story, too, of how it happened in your life. And that was in the end of my junior year of high school. It was later in that same summer, 1953, that God really began to work on me. That's why I was in church that Sunday morning for the first time in I don't know when. But God was working, and our church was having a revival. It was outside. There were no air conditioning then, and they had it outside. And on Tuesday night, I was so under conviction, I knelt in the backyard where our family lived, and I didn't know how to pray out loud. But I just knelt there, and I'm thinking out loud, Lord, I want you to save me, but don't let anybody ever know it. Well, I had friends. I knew they'd be after me when they found out I got saved. But nevertheless, I couldn't stand it anymore. So Wednesday, I was working in a sheet metal shop that summer between my junior and senior year. And I hurried home from work that afternoon and told my mom I'm not hungry tonight. And I got cleaned up and I went down to the First Baptist Church. And I found the pastor. And I said, Brother Burnett, I need to be saved. He looked at me and said, I know it. And he sat down with me out of the Word of God and led me to Jesus. I tell you, folks, salvation is wonderful. Look at that verse. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident, as he writes to the Philippian believers. And you remember the Philippians from back in Acts 16, the jailer and the earthquake and all that happened that night, and now there's a church, and he's writing back to them, and he says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That is our wonderful salvation. So just a few things to say about our wonderful salvation. The first thing I want to say, and that's in your notes, I think, is that this salvation, it's God's work. It's not man's work. We have a part in planting seed, but salvation is of the Lord. In the Old Testament book of Jonah, Jonah is, running from God and ends up in the belly of the great fish in the Mediterranean Sea. And down in that belly of that fish, he had a prayer meeting. And it's interesting, when you read that prayer, not one time did he ask the Lord, get me out of this mess I'm in. He told the Lord what all he was going to do when he got out. But at the conclusion of it, he said, salvation is of the Lord. That's a lesson all of us have learned. We didn't save ourselves. Salvation is of the Lord. It's by the grace of God that we have become members of the family of God. And there are so many verses in the Word of God that underscore that truth, that salvation comes from God. He is the author of it. I wonder sometimes, as I've thought about that, what do you think would have happened if God had appointed a committee, a people, to draw up the plan of salvation? I wonder what we would have come up with. It probably would have looked nothing like God's redemptive plan that is offered to whosoever will, no matter where we came from, no matter what our background is, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. Anyone who will turn in faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. Amen? Anyone can do that. And as someone has said, I don't know who it was, but it's a good statement. Jesus is not the best, not the only way, not the best way to be saved. He's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So our wonderful salvation is God's work. And so many verses underscore that. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, Paul writes to the Thessalonian believers and says that God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And in 2 Thessalonians, he says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. And in the writings to Timothy, Paul reminds him that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And Peter talks about the long suffering of our Lord as he wants us to come to him. And again to Timothy, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, and I'm the chief sinner. So the chief's already been saved. There's room for the rest of the tribe in the family of God. And there's so many other verses that you can look through in the Word of God. But just remember this. Salvation is not in the preacher. Salvation is not in the church. Salvation is not in our good works. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through Him can a person be saved. It's another thing about our wonderful salvation is that our wonderful salvation is a good work. That verse says, He which has begun a good work in you. The Lord starts where we are, but He's not through with us yet. Salvation is a good work. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that God Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. It's a good work. You know, there are really three pictures in the Bible that I think of in relationship to our salvation. One is in John 3, where the salvation is spoken of as a birth. Jesus said, Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And then in John 5:24, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Salvation is a birth. Salvation is also pictured as a resurrection, passing from spiritual death to spiritual life. And then here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it is spoken of as a creation. We are a new creature in Christ, a new creation in Christ. All three of these have something very much in common, and that is they all represent a brand new beginning. And salvation is a good work. A number of years ago, we were having a revival meeting in church where I was pastor, and a lot of people were coming to the services. And on this particular night, the Spirit of God just moved in a great way. It was in September, and there was one of the invitations toward the end of the week, I think there were 30 or something people that had come forward, and many of them for salvation, and many of them I didn't know. One young man I'd never seen before, or at least if I had, I didn't know I had. And he was a senior in high school. And one of our deacons dealt with him at the altar, led him to the Lord. And when the service was over, I asked people to tell me why they came, and got to him. He said, "I came to be saved." And his life was really changed. He'd been into drugs, and that was in September. And by the time Christmas vacation came, he had led 50 high school students to the Lord. Amazing thing. How God's salvation is a good work. When God touches a life, He really begins to change that person, make them what they ought to be. So salvation is God's work. Salvation is a good work. But salvation is also a growing work. The Lord saves us. That's an act of justification the moment we place our faith in Jesus. But He's not through with us yet. He's still going to work on our life and do something with us. I don't remember the name of the seminar, but there was a seminar that had a little badge that the people that were enrolled in it wore, and it said, "Please be patient. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet." But instead of spelling all that out, it only had the first letter of each of those words. And so you can imagine the alphabet soup that looked like. And Mom and Dad, a young couple, had gone to the seminar. And when they came home that night, Dad laid his badge on the coffee table. And the next morning, their kindergarten son, running out to catch the bus, picked up his dad's pen and pinned it on his shirt and wore it to school. After some curiosity on the teacher's part, she finally said, "Bobby, what does that pen mean?" He said, "That means, please be patient with my daddy. God's not through with him yet." Well, that's true of all of us. God is not through with us yet. Salvation, I think of it in three tenses. You got the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense. The past tense is, I have been saved. Can you say that with me? Say, "I have been saved." All right? That means you trusted Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven. But there's another thing. Not only can I say I have been saved, but I also say I am being saved. I am being saved from the power of sin. That's, theologians call that sanctification. Growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus, we're a new spiritual baby. But then we're going to be growing in grace, and sanctification is going to work in our life. And we are in the process. We don't automatically become a full-grown Christian. I've not seen very many like that. In fact, I've not seen any. I've seen some that thought they were. But it's a matter of growth, a spiritual growth. And we are in the process of being saved from sin's power over our life. So I have been saved from the penalty of sin, justification. I am being saved from the power of sin, sanctification. And I am yet to be saved from the very presence of sin. That's glorification. When we get our new body, we'll go to be with the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus in three offices: prophet, priest, and king. The suffering prophet who died for our sins, the priest who intercedes for us, and the king who is coming back. And in the book of Hebrews, toward the end of the ninth chapter, you read verse, I guess Linda's got it up there. The verse that says that Jesus has appeared once in the end of age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What's these three appearing? He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's when he came, born of a virgin, lived on the earth, and went to the cross and died for our sins. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself that brought us justification. And then the passage says that he appears in the presence of God for us. Right now, where is Jesus? He is interceding for us. He's praying for us. He is at the right hand of the Father. I remember a story. I heard about a grandmother and her little grandson. They were sitting on the front porch watching a beautiful sunset when Grandma said to her grandson, "Isn't that a beautiful picture God has painted there in the sky?" And her little grandson said, "Yes, Grandma, that's beautiful. And did you know God did it with his left hand?" Grandma said, "Well, why do you think God did that with his left hand?" "Well," he said, "didn't you hear the pastor Sunday? He said Jesus was sitting on his right hand." "Well, he is indeed seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. He right now appears in the presence of God for us, and that is our the work of our sanctification." And then that passage in Hebrews again says, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Finally, his third appearance of Jesus is going to be when he comes back. And at that time, this old corruption we live in now is going to be laid aside. This mortality, mortal body will be gone, and we'll have an incorruptible, immortal body, and we'll be with the Lord forevermore. So we have been saved, we are being saved, and we are ultimately going to be saved. God is not through with us yet. Not through with us yet. I think of it like this. Here's a man who is a sculptor. He's going to sculpture a bust of President Lincoln. He goes down to the quarry and selects just the block he wants to make the statue out of. And he's got this block in the back of his pickup, and he stops to visit a friend. And his friend says, "What do you got there in the back of your truck?" He said, "I have a block of granite." "Oh," he said, "what are you going to do with it?" "Well," he said, "if you look at that, that is a bust of Abraham Lincoln." "Well," he said, "it doesn't look like a Abraham Lincoln to me. It's pretty rectangular, so we're square. It doesn't look like Abraham Lincoln." He takes it home. A couple of weeks later, his friend comes by, and there's been some chips taken off of it. And his friend said, "Now, what'd you say that was?" He said, "That's a bust of Abraham Lincoln." "Well," he said, "it don't look like Abraham Lincoln to me." About a year goes by, and he comes by one day and looks at in his little lobby office, and he says, "Hey, that looks like Abraham Lincoln." When God is through with us, we'll look like he wants us to look. Right now, we don't look that way. There used to be a Methodist preacher in England by the name of W.E. Sangster. And he was a brilliant preacher, a good man, and had a lot of friends. And some of his friends were wanting him to allow someone to write the biography of his life before he died, which he refused to do. He'd given his son instructions that he was to shred all the files in his cabinets and destroy everything. He wanted it all left behind. But some got to his son and talked him into finally letting his dad to let him publish a biography of his dad's life. And his son talked to his dad and finally persuaded him to allow him to write that biography of his dad. His dad said, "On one condition, you have to include warts and all." And when you read the biography of W.E. Sangster, there's a chapter in it entitled "Warts and All." Well, if you wrote the biography of any one of us, you could well have a chapter, "Warts and All," because God is not through with us yet. He's still working on us and seeking to bring us to where he wants us to be. So salvation is God's work. It's a good work. It's a growing work. When I think about that growing work, I think about that ministry again of Jesus. If you go back into Psalms, chapters 22 and 23 and 24, you see that threefold ministry again of Jesus. In Psalm 22 opens with familiar words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And in Psalm 22, you have a picture of Jesus. What goes through him is through his mind and thinking as he hangs on the cross, where he's our suffering Savior. And then when you move out of 22, you move into 23, and which we're familiar with, and where God provides for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all the provision that He makes all the way to the end. And then when you move out of the 23rd Psalm into the 24th Psalm, you have the phrase, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is King of glory. Prophet and priest and king. And all that threefold ministry is working on us right now. It brought us to Jesus for forgiveness, and it's working to keep us growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And ultimately and finally, it's who is this King of glory? He's coming back to claim us to be His very own. Salvation is God's work, a good work, a growing work. Another thing, God's salvation is a guaranteed work. As the pastor said this morning, he believed in eternal security. So do I. So do I. Notice what he says there in verse 6. He says he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. What God has started in us in a true believer, it will be good all the way to the time we go meet the Lord. It'll last. It'll keep. It's for real. I love that 24th verse of the book of Jude. Little one chapter book that has this almost closing verse says, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. He holds our hand. He holds us up. Every one of us would fall by the wayside if it wasn't for the strength of the Lord that holds us and guides us and keeps us in the right direction. And Ephesians 5 talks about the time is going to come when He is going to present us, His believing family. He's going to present us to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. We don't have that yet, but we're going to have it by and by. I was a freshman in college. I'd been saved a year when I started to college out of high school. And someone has said that a young preacher and a wasp are a lot alike. They're both the biggest when they first hatch. And in the Decatur, Texas, where I went to Decatur Baptist College, there were two churches there. And some of us young Pharisees thought neither one of them was really up to snuff. And Dr. Otis Strickland was the president of the college. And one day he met me in the hall and got me by the hand, took me into his office. And he said, I heard you'd been critical of our churches. I was embarrassed. And he said, I've got some advice for you. If you ever find a perfect church, he said, please do not join it. You will ruin it. And the same is true for all of us. If we ever find that perfect church, just pass it by. Let someone else go there, because any one of us would mess it up. Because we all have those warts and all in our life. But one day, He's going to present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I love that verse in 1 Peter where he says, we have a reserved place in heaven. You got one? A reserved place in heaven. It's in 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5. We have an inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. It's guaranteed. Once the Lord saves you, He's going to take you to heaven. In Ephesians, He talks about the earnest of the Spirit. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And that is the earnest of our inheritance. And I think you all know what earnest money on property would be. It's a guarantee of what? That you're going to finish the transaction. Let's just suppose now a guy has a piece of property for sale. And it's going to cost a lot of money. And I'm going to have to get a loan, but someone else is trying to buy it too. And so I put up my earnest money. Say I put up $1,000 in earnest pay. Guaranteeing I'm going to go to the bank. I'm going to borrow the rest of it. And when I go to the bank, they turn me down. And I'm unable to raise the money. And I go back to guy and say, can I have my money back? And what's he going to say? No. That was earnest. That was a guarantee. Think about that. The Holy Spirit who indwells us is the earnest of our inheritance. He's the guarantee that when we die, the Lord's going to take us to heaven. Well, that's good enough for me. I hope that's good enough for you. Earnest of our inheritance. So let's remember that. God's salvation, it's God's work. It's a good work. It's a growing work. And it's a guaranteed work. Now I want you to bow with me for prayer. And then we're going to sing a song before we go home. Father, we thank you for the wonderful salvation gift that you've given to us. And I want you to help each one of us to ever be grateful, to never forget the day we came to Jesus and what it means to be a Christian. And may we serve you faithfully all the days you give us here on planet Earth. In the name of Jesus, amen.